How's it going, everybody? Andrew Zarian here, Wrestling Observer Live. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. on Saturdays with Jim Valley, and Sundays with me. Happy Sunday, everybody. I feel like I say every week, wow, we have a lot to talk about. But we do. We always have a lot to talk about here. Grand Slam was this week in Queens. I'm rocking a Queens shirt today while we're doing this. If you're listening, you can't see me. Much like a certain wrestler that's coming back in the new year. Yeah, we're going to talk about Grand Slam that happened in Queens at Arthur Ashe Stadium. Also, it was Dynamite and Collision that night. It was a long night. I was there, at least for some of it. I went by. Easy trip for me. Friday night SmackDown on the path to Bad Blood. That's shaping up to be a pretty decent pay-per-view. I mean, that cell match is going to be something. We'll talk about it. Also, this week, the premiere of NXT on the CW network. It's launching. They have moved NXT to CW. It's going to be live from Chicago. CM Punk is all over that show. We'll talk about that. And, of course, the big story this week, the Vince McMahon documentary on Netflix came out on Wednesday. I have seen all of it except the last episode. So we'll talk about that. I went through all of it, and then I watched it all over again with my wife, and I did not make it to episode 6. And apparently that's the one that, you know, it's the bigger of the episodes here. I want to get your thoughts on this. Give me your thoughts on the Vince McMahon doc if you've seen it. Give me your thoughts on Grand Slam. Give me your thoughts on what's going to happen with NXT. And, of course, Bad Blood. You could tweet me. Actually, X me. Can you X me? Is that the proper term? X me at Andrew Zarian. I want to hear from you guys. When we come back from break, we're going to go into all of this week's big stories. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Yeah, last week I went to Dynamite and Collision at Arthur Ashe Stadium. They had Grand Slam there. I thought it was interesting because Tony made a comment throughout the week. He's like, yeah, we're going to continue doing Grand Slam. I love coming back here to New York and doing Grand Slam. And I want to ask somebody. I'm like, okay, well, what happens next year? Because you're running a pay-per-view out of Australia and it's called Grand Slam. Do you do it twice? You know, there was a lot of changes to this year, and this has been a story of AEW in 2024. They have made some big changes to the company. The overall structure has changed. You know, they've hired a lot of executives. They're changing a lot of the presentation, but you know, they were planning on running Forbidden Door in June out of Arthur Ashe Stadium. This is what I was told. Forbidden Door was moving to Arthur Ashe. Instead of UBS Arena, they ended up running New York anyway, but they were going to run Arthur Ashe. And instead of running Arthur Ashe Stadium for Grand Slam, they were going to run the smaller stadium that's right next to it. I mean, it's hard to describe to people that have never been on that facility. It's the USTA, the United States Tennis Association facility in Flushing Meadow Park. So you have, you know, smaller courts, and then you got the big stadium, Arthur Ashe Stadium, and then you got one that's 13,000, and it's Louis Armstrong. So they were going to run Louis Armstrong for this Grand Slam, and I think it would have been, I don't know if it was the logistics of bringing things in and out of that building. It is a newer building, but it's smaller. It's 13,000 people, and I think, you know, going from a 20,000-person stadium that you're putting 8,000 or so people in versus a 13,000 putting 8,000, it is a visual difference. I'm curious if it would have made a difference for the overall presentation or what the change was. But they did run Arthur Ashe Stadium for this. Dynamite was fun. I saw everybody. It was a who's who of wrestling media there. A lot of good people. It was nice. I did not stay for the whole thing. I had a work emergency, so I had to leave pretty soon as I got there. I was there for only half a Dynamite, but I ended up watching Collision last night. We'll talk about this now. MG, my producer, what did you think of the Saraya rules match? Essentially, the rules were Saraya could do whatever she wants, and Jamie can't. And Jamie won.
This turned out to be more fun than it had any reason being, for me at least.
I mean, listen, Saraya, we know she has had, she has a serious neck issue, right? Mm-hmm. That ended her run in WWE. I mean, it essentially retired her. And she was doing a lot in this match, or at least trying to do a lot. I mean, she was bumping like crazy.
Yeah, she did. And I'm happy that they're kind of adding her back in, because she was, I was like, they made such a big, remember 2 years ago at Grand Slam, she debuted and everybody was like, oh, wow.
Yeah.
And then she just kind of went away.
It's hard. I mean, you know, I believe her, the story was that she was getting checked out before and after every match, right? That was the story.
Yes. Yeah. They were limiting her.
Yeah. I'm curious if they're still doing that. You know, but this did turn out better than a lot of people expected. The story here is Jamie. They're building Jamie Hayter up. And rightfully so. You know, she was really hot when she got hurt and she left last year. And, you know, it was a long recovery. And now she's back and they're presenting her in a really strong way. I think this was a positive for Jamie. Saraya, you know, she did a lot in this match. There was a big spot where Harley Cameron came to, I guess, suplex Jamie Hayter through the table, and it looked really scary the way that everybody landed there. There were toy cars all over that table too. Did you notice that, MJ?
Those cast cars, the die cast?
Yeah, the die cast cars. We got a Tornado Trios match. The Learning Tree, Big Bill, Brian Keith, and Chris Jericho defeated the Conglomeration, Kyle O'Reilly, Mark Briscoe, and Orange Cassidy. I don't know why I was about to say OJ Simpson. My brain, for whatever reason, saw Orange, and I thought OJ Simpson. Kyle O'Reilly, Mark Briscoe, and it was not OJ Simpson. It was Orange Cassidy. This really looks like they're building a program between Jericho and Mark Briscoe. Is this going to be for the title?
Yeah, he already held the ROH title. I don't want to see Jericho with the ROH title again.
You don't want to see it again? Mm-hmm. Why?
Because, man, put that on somebody else. Put that on somebody new.
don't want to see Chris Jericho's Ring of Honor
champion? Briscoe. No, it's perfect. Briscoe, okay, but I mean, he's been in Ring of Honor. It just kind of makes sense that he's the champion there.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's fine. That'll be a fun program. I'm fine with that. I know a lot of people are turned off by Jericho. I don't have that turn off as much as people have it. Listen, he's a veteran. He's obviously in his mid-50s. He's not moving the same way, but he's
doing. Yeah, he keeps doing stuff. I mean, he reinvents himself and he comes up with different characters. It's fine.
Yeah.
But it's just not always for me. I like new characters.
My big concern is with Big Bill. You know, you don't have too many guys that look like him and, you know, have the presence that he does. You know, I'm going to be honest with you. I'm biased towards Big Bill. Why? Because he's from Queens. He's from my neighborhood. He was a big basketball star here. People know him around here. So I want to see him do well. But also, it's the hard work this guy's put in over the last 5 years. He's been sober for 5 years, changed his entire life. He looks tremendous. Just, he needs that singles opportunity. You know, maybe there's a disconnect there. Maybe they've attempted it and there's something going on. I don't know. But I'd like to see, and Brian Keith is also great. I like Brian Keith a lot. So I'm hoping that this elevates those two working with Jericho. You also got Brody King defeating Action Andretti. This was
a fun little match.
Yeah. That was a fun little match. But this was, I want to talk about the next one here. So this actually, a little behind the curtain, this opened up the show. When we were at Grand Slam, this was one of the first matches they put on before Dynamite went live.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Okay. And the building was pretty empty at that time when this match was happening. They heard Jack Perry's music. Jack Perry came out. This was the open challenge, right? And yes. Minoru Suzuki's music hit, and you saw grown men running to be there for his entrance.
That's funny.
Yeah, Jack Perry defeated Minoru Suzuki by countout after Shibata came in to make the save for Suzuki. So it looks like it's going to be Jack Perry and Shibata for the TNT title next. This was fine. You know, it was kind of hard because they were on the outside, they were on the inside. There was a lot of moving parts here. It definitely looked better on TV than it did in the building at the moment that this match went on, because it was very desolate.
One thing I noticed is during Suzuki's entrance, the music, usually the people are screaming that music at the top of their lungs. Yeah. I could barely hear it. So well, I was like, it didn't sound
couple
like
reasons.
It was that.
Couple reasons. Yeah. It's a very high roof, right? It's a dome.
Right.
It's a soft domed top. Or is it soft? I believe it's soft.
Yes.
No, I mean it is soft. Mm. So I think the way that the sound bounces in that building is strange. And also, there was nobody there. There was nobody there. I would say half of the audience that was there for Dynamite was not there for this.
Mm-hmm.
So I think they wanted a big, you know, welcome match, but it didn't come off like that, and it took a little while. But also, listen, and then the opening match after this, you know, for the show, when the show went live, was Danielson. So it kind of got everybody pumped in the building, but I don't think it did the job for this Minoru Suzuki match. I want to talk a little bit more about this. I was hoping to talk about it for one segment, but we're not going to do that. We're going to talk about this into the next segment also, because the Outrunners, I want to take some time and talk about them. When we come back, Collision and everything else happening in the world of professional wrestling. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. I want to go right into this. The Outrunners were at Coney Island. You know, I'm asking the audience this, right? I'm so tickled by these guys. I love an over-the-top 1980s gimmick, okay? Wrestling gimmick. I don't know why. It feels warm to me. I want outrageous characters screaming at me and wearing really bright colors. That's what I want in wrestling. The Outrunners were at Coney Island. They did this. It was cool to see the video. We also got a three-way Lucha Libre match. Hologram defeated the Beast Mortos and Dralistico. They brought up the similarities of WCW's first hour with the Luchas on Collision. You know what was funny? You know, Lucha Libre is very different than American style, obviously. And this is obviously a hybrid, right? Because you're catering to an American audience. But they did a Lucha match here, right, MG?
Absolutely. I mentioned this, I think, a couple weeks ago, that I felt like this is where they were, why they were doing these matches on this show. It kind of the same vein as WCW Nitro. And all of a sudden, and then for them to kind of mention it, I think it was Daddy Magic told Tony, I goes, you remember these matches back in the day or something? And I goes, well, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And yeah. I like these matches, and you can run these back and they can fill a
segment. Yeah, they're great. I love it. I think Mortos is fantastic. Hologram. I know that the focus is on Hologram here. They're trying to build them, but Mortos is something very special here. I did find it comical going on social media last night and seeing the complaints about, oh my gosh, this match is so flippy and so choreographed.
Mm-hmm.
And all I could think of was, have I ever seen a Lucha Libre match? The whole thing is arm drags and flips. So I don't know. I found the commentary. This was fun. Really fun match. I love this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know? MXM Collection Fashion Show. I did not love this, and I like those guys a lot, but I
thought it was terrible, to be honest.
Yeah, I did not like this, and it hurts me to say, because I like both those dudes. They had a bunch of models come out. They had Max Caster's. They had a model, right, and wearing the caster jacket, and he had a hood on. His head was covered, right?
Yeah.
You couldn't see who it was.
Yes.
And they touched it up. But what did they do? They cut a heart in the front.
Yes. And once I noticed the physique, I goes, that's Billy Gunn. That's so Billy Gunn.
This monster that was jacked. It turned out to be Billy Gunn. It spoiled the heels. All right. It was not good.
No.
I did not enjoy it. And I like a lot of this hokey stuff, you know, like I'm into it sometimes. This was I was not into.
No.
We got the Lumberjack strap match. Hangman Page defeated Jeff Jarrett. What did you think of the match?
I thought Jeff Jarrett looked really good in this.
Yeah, he's...
This was everything it needed to be. Just the way they were doing it. The one thing for me that really stood out in this whole thing was Juice Robinson on the outside.
Did you see the outfit? Yeah. He dressed up like a lumberjack with his short shorts and suspenders.
Well, he had the suspenders tied into his tights, his wrestling tights. So he's wearing, I guess that is the most bizarre look, but it works for him because he's just so over the top.
Yeah, but well, the story like here, going, you know, yeah. Hangman, mm-hmm. Hangman is a stud right now. They were able to, and I got to tell you, the Swerve storyline really brought Hangman back. You could tell that this is a very different presentation for him. He's so much more. I mean, he's always been. I mean, a hard hitting psychopath in the ring. I do think that the CM Punk problem did slow him down a little, and it may have disenfranchised him a little. But he's back now, and it's great. And it looks like it's going to be him and Juice Robinson for the next program. Maybe that's a pay per view match.
Oh, so good. I like Juice Robinson a lot. I'm glad they're getting him back involved again.
Listen, when is Jay White returning?
It's a good question. I do not know that. I know he had a pretty bad injury, so.
I don't know what his state of recovery is, but I think going, you know, after this, if he's available, if that's what they're going to go right into Jay White and Hangman. I mean, that's a...
Oh. Yeah, that could be a great feud, too.
Maybe he'll be ready for the Australia show. Maybe that's a build.
Interesting, yeah.
You know? Mm. So after the match, he choked out Robinson. Also, AEW Continental Contender match. Continental title eliminator match. There you go. Okada defeated Sammy Guevara. So that
I like this match, too. Sammy looked really good in this, so good for him.
Yeah, yeah. So that was... That was that. SmackDown also, let's go into this. You know, this is on USA now, and the numbers are not going to be the same, but they did put on a pretty good show here, man. Randy Orton, Cody Rhodes, Bloodline segment opened it up. Kevin Owens and Randy Orton both questioned why Cody would even team with Roman Reigns. So this is the big moment here, and I don't know if this is a Kevin Owens turn. I don't know if they're just going to continue him questioning Cody. You know, that is interesting to me that's where they're headed here. Bayley defeated Naomi to become the number one contender for the WWE Women's Championship. Before the match, Nia was shown backstage upset with Tiffany Stratton and choked her out.
Like literally grabbed her by the throat. I go, yeah, okay, like grabbed her. Some people are not going to like that at all.
It became a meme online.
Yeah.
She said that things would get really bad for her if she lost the title. So I guess maybe that's where they're headed here.
And then they showed Tiffany very upset when she walked away. So I think we're going to get a cash in sooner than later, which I hope so.
Oh, that would be great.
I'm not an Ajax fan.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Carmelo Hayes defeated Andrade. The series is now tied. This was another banger of a match. They have had six matches, and every single one of them has been really good.
And a little bit different. And they're changing it up each time.
Here's a question for you. Mm-hmm. Who's been benefiting more from these matches, Andrade or Carmelo?
I think you could say equally. They're establishing Carmelo more because Andrade's been around for a while. Carmelo's still fairly new to a lot of people. So I think just to answer that question, pick one, I would say Carmelo.
Yeah, I think Carmelo's been looking excellent here. He's such a tremendous talent. And, you know, to be in a ring with a guy like Andrade on your first major program like this, like long term, is a positive. So I guess maybe this will be the pay-per-view match, you know, the final one. And then we go
you
from
can do
there.
That, definitely.
Yeah. You know, last week he had that great match with LA Knight too, and then that wacky ending where they were like trying to shake hands and he gave him a fist pump and he raised his hand. I still don't understand what happened there.
I missed part of this match, but I think LA Knight came out at the end of this one too.
Yeah. So after a week of speculating, where's AJ Styles? Where has he been? He has not been on TV. I guess WWE noticed that people were questioning it, and there was a vignette for him. He'll be back next week on SmackDown. His contract ends sometime soon. Possibly 2025, and he's not re-signed yet. So is he going
to
retire?
Yeah, but we've seen those kind of come down to the last minute.
Yeah.
I've noticed a lot. When I hear that stuff, I go, until I hear that
he's gone. Me too. Me too. Like, maybe he just wanted some time off. He is 47 years old.
Yeah.
And he does perform at a very high level when it comes to wrestling. I mean, he's not doing half the stuff that he was doing in TNA, obviously, but he's still performing at an extremely high level. It just shows you how great he was in his prime. You know? I'm curious where he goes with this. Bloodline defeated Kevin Owens and Randy Orton. This was Solo and Jacob Fatu. There was a fun moment here. Actually, before the match, KO told Cody not to come out there. Orton told Cody if it broke down, it was 4-on-1, he could come out. Cody did end up coming out, taking out the Tongans, but Jacob Fatu would throw him in the ring. That would end up costing Kevin Owens the match. Who is Tony, by the way? You wrote Tony came out. I'm assuming you meant Cody.
Yeah.
And then Tony Khan showed up on SmackDown and went into the ring and he took out the Tongans. Can you believe that? There was an interesting spot here where Orton went to drop Fatu on the table and it didn't break and he no-sold it and he did it again and again and again.
Yeah,
and that table would not break. Even with Solo on it, it barely broke.
It always amazes me with those monitors, because those monitors are broken. They got to be cutting up your back when you go into them. Just that, every time I see that, I cringe.
Better than those old ones. Remember, I don't know if Vince bought out a factory of those square monitors that they used for like 20 years.
Those square monitors. They used long after they should have retired them. Yeah.
I mean, for a while,
remember Rusev carrying one around going, I'm new TV champion.
was that during Vince McMahon's heel United Nations? It was called the League of Nations. Was that it?
Yep.
And
so in 2016, they were still using those monitors.
Oh my gosh, terrible. Yeah, that was SmackDown. It was a good SmackDown. When we come back, we have a lot of news to talk about. I want to talk about Bad Blood. I want to talk about CW. I want to talk about this WBD update, what Swerve said, the Vince McMahon doc. We have a lot to get to in our next segment here. Also, SummerSlam coming back to, not New York, New Jersey, MetLife Stadium. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Next week, WWE Bad Blood, not Bloodline. WWE Bloodline. You know what? They could do that. Remember they ran DX at their own pay-per-view name? Rock got his own show. Why not call it Bloodline? WWE Bad Blood is Sunday, October 5th. 6 p.m. on Peacock. You got a Hell in a Cell match. CM Punk, Drew McIntyre. Looking forward to this. Roman Reigns and Cody versus Solo and Jacob Fatu. I'm curious what happens here. Who interrupts?
It feels like the setup for War Games, right?
That is the setup.
Leading down that road. Yep.
WWE Women's World Champion Liv Morgan defends against Rhea Ripley. WWE Women's Champion.
Dominic, shark cage.
Dominic suspended over the shark cage, over the ring. In the shark cage, over the ring. You got WWE Women's Champion Nia Jax defending against Bayley. Damian Priest against Finn Balor. And women's tag titles on the line. They're hosting, I'm sorry. Women's tag champions Bianca Belair and Jade Cargill will be the host of Bad Blood. That was announced last night. Would you like to add something, MG?
No, I just said I loved on the Liv and Rhea match. Dominic being so over the top with having been in prison, where he's still going, I can't go back, I can't go back.
That's so good.
It's like, you are so over the top. It's so dumb, but yet it's so funny.
WWE NXT will be on CW. Big changes to the look. I don't know what that means, how they're going to change the look, because they're not running live from different places every week. So
that we know of.
That we know of.
I know they're doing the first two, right?
The first two, yeah. And listen, I think that's fine. Like, they could... I don't understand why they wouldn't film, you know, 2 weeks worth of TV at these shows. I think that would be great. I mean, listen, you're in Chicago, right? You're in Chicago. You have 6,000, I don't know how many people, 6,000 people in that building, right? I know WrestleTix probably has it out there. You want to visually show a really strong show. Why not do 2 weeks there, and then you do the next, you know, the next taping in St. Louis? They moved it to a smaller building, but we'll see. I'm curious what the big changes are. This is the women's title is going to kick off the CW premiere. You also have Ethan Page defending against Trick Williams with CM Punk as a special guest referee. You have Wesley and Zachary Wentz in a street fight. You have Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair on the show. You have Miz hosting Miz TV with Obafemi and Tony D'Angelo. You have Jada Parker and Lola Vice versus two members of Fatal Influence. And you have, like we said, the Roxanne Perez defending against Julia to open the show.
And now we know that who's waiting at the other end of that, because Stephanie Vaquera showed up at the end of NXT this last week. So
WWE also announced two-night SummerSlam is headed to New Jersey in 2025. MetLife Stadium is getting SummerSlam August 2nd and 3rd. This is the first time they have run that stadium, and they have not built it as New York. They built it as New Jersey. I'm willing to bet that New York did not want to pay for SummerSlam, and New Jersey did. And people forget, the New York Giants and the New Jersey
they should be the New York Jets
and the New York Jets do not play in New York. They play at the Meadowlands in New Jersey. And I have to tell you, it is not an easy place to get to. And this is my big problem with football here. I can't connect because I can't go. Like, I'm not going to. Do you know what a travel nightmare that is?
We had
for someone from New York.
It's like a 3-hour round trip, right?
It's terrible. Yeah. It's a nightmare. So maybe I'll go. Maybe I won't. I don't know. We'll see. There's also an update on WBD's situation with AEW. So this was interesting. A couple of weeks ago, we broke the story that Fox was in play to get a show from AEW. There was interest in there. They held meetings. I had spoken to someone there, and they kind of, interestingly, kind of between the lines told me that, you know, there was a lot of ad inventory. We worked really hard to sell these ads, to convince advertisers to advertise on professional wrestling. And now there is a thirst, a hunger for this. It would be a shame to let it go to waste. Swerve was off. I don't know if he was off the record. I don't know if he knew he was being recorded here for a YouTube video. And in the video, he's speaking to somebody. My apologies. I have no idea who he was speaking to. And he essentially says, like, yeah, we're on TNT. We're on TBS. We're on Max or whatever he said, and we're gonna be on Fox because Fox SmackDown's no longer on Fox, so we're going to Fox. You heard that clip, right, MG?
I haven't heard it. I'm looking it up now. The name of the YouTuber is Queens with a Z Flip.
Queens YouTube Flip. Is he channel. From Queens?
No, I don't even know if it's a. I don't even know if it's a guy. It might be a girl. I don't know. Just first time hearing of it. But
okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, listen. I don't know. What? Somebody messaged me and he was like, "You think he's working, or you think he's off the record having a conversation?" I'm like, "I don't know." You know.
Sounded like he was having a conversation just based on this verbiage of what I'm reading here.
Yeah, it sounded like he was having a conversation, and I listened to it and. You know, maybe that's the 90% or whatever, 98% that deal was done. That's how it was presented to me, that the WBD side was completed and it was whatever else he was going to do with another network partner was still being worked on. I will tell you that Rampage is not on for the schedule. So I don't know if you're going to move Rampage and give them another show. I have no idea how this would work with Fox. I have no idea what night they would put them on. and what time slot they would put them on. You have college football there. You have, I mean, their schedule is busy.
Not to mention if the rumor of SmackDown going to 3 hours, that just kills that 10 o'clock Friday.
SmackDown going to 3 hours. Well, and then also, are we still talking Fox? Or are we talking
somewhere else?
The way that it was described to me, it was always said as Fox, okay? It was always said Fox. But I speak to people at WBD all the time, and there are certain people that still call the company Turner. So I don't know if it's a verbiage thing. Like, and I spoke to somebody that, you know, I was a very legitimate journalist, non-wrestling journalist, reached out to me about this from the TV side. And that was exactly what I said to them. The word was Fox, but I have no way, you know, and this person was not going to disclose more. So very interesting stuff. We'll find out. I mean, soon. The Orion report said any week now, and that's what I've been told regularly, that any week now, things have been prepared. PR is prepared. Marketing is prepared. They just need to get the green light for whatever reason and fire ahead. Vince McMahon documentary dropped on Wednesday. I want to take a couple minutes with this. So I went into it with an open mind, with zero expectation. I had zero expectation of being a fluff piece. I had zero expectation of it being a hatchet job, as many people said that this would be. This was not a hatchet job at all. This was not a fluff piece either. I just got a message, so funny, while we're recording this. My buddy, that is not a hardcore wrestling fan, okay? A very casual fan, watched in during the Attitude Era, watches currently, but not committed and obsessively consuming. This is what he said to me. The last 30 minutes of episode 6 is all anybody needs to watch. I give the entire series a 4 out of 10. You know, I think that's pretty fair. I was not blown away by much. I mean, there were certain moments. Obviously, Shane McMahon's relationship with his father said a lot. He came off, you know, between everybody on that documentary, Shane McMahon came off the best. And our very own Dave Meltzer was the voice of reason there. He came off
kind of came
tremendous.
In between the two, right? He's kind of like the way they edited it. It looked like he was kind of mediating between the two.
He really came off really good. Like, actually, in a world of crazies, he came off to be the only sane person with a sane outlook on this. Everybody else was, you know, I don't know. That was one, right? The Shane relationship was one. I have yet to see episode 6. Okay.
I haven't either.
So. I haven't, mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. I watched up to 5. I watched all of 5. My wife wanted to rewatch it. She was like, "It's so much wrestling. I want more of the person, right? I want more." Like episode 2 was a pretty good episode. Also, the Vince comment about you know, he had an affair, right? That's what he claimed.
Mm-hmm. With the referee?
With the
Chatterton?
Referee.
Is that the one you're talking about?
Yeah, okay. With Rita Chatterton. Yeah. I always remember him denying any kind of relationship.
Yeah, but now he's trying to get in front of anything.
Trying to get in front. And okay, fine, right? And I can't think like that man. I don't know why he would do or say whatever he said. But he said it was a consensual affair. And then he could have left it there, but he didn't. And the answer, he followed it up with, well, even if it wasn't consensual, the statute of limitations has expired.
That was interesting.
That's a crazy thing to say. There weren't a lot of those, though. You didn't get a lot of that. Again, maybe episode 6 is different, but I'm speaking about the first 5 episodes. It was all the stories that you've heard about Vince McMahon. It was, you know, the line is blurred. You don't know. he only tells you what he wants you to see. Everything he does is so strategic. You know, again, this I'm going to say, outside of seeing episode six, something that maybe come off a little. It did exactly what Vince McMahon's team has said about his defense, that it reiterated that, where you don't know when he's in character and where he's the real person. Nobody really knows. So your idea of this man is not correct, because he's such a tremendous actor. And he has this ability to go in and out of, and I'm like, well, we wanted the person. We don't want the wrestling character. We want to know more about the person. And again, this is not a man that's willing to tell you who he is. So you only got glimpses and you got bits and pieces. I don't know. To me, the first five episodes, it wasn't this damning piece. And it also wasn't this fluff piece. It was, yeah, he's not a great guy, but he's done some really good things. Is that, can we, I mean, that's really what they were telling you. It wasn't Vince McMahon, it was his company. I didn't really learn much. But I'm curious what a casual fan would think. Going to a quick break. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Stay tuned. Wrestling Observer Live here on Sports Byline. Final few minutes of the show. Yeah, I got a couple comments here. You really didn't like the documentary? Didn't learn anything from it? I learned a lot. I mean, listen, I'm sure if you're a casual person and you turn this on, right? I like, my wife is a casual fan. Not even. She's casual by being in the same room and seeing wrestling on 24/7. And she said, I want to know more about him. I don't really want to know about WrestleMania and the story of 900,000 people showed up at WrestleMania 3 and Andre, Hogan didn't know if Andre, I mean, that's such a hokey wrestling thing to put in. They also said they had 100 hours worth of interviews. Where's the rest? There's nothing else that was a little bit more sensational? Something that we haven't heard? I don't know. It was shot beautifully. It was produced amazing. But we learned we will never know who that man is. This was it. This is he'll never do this again. You'll never get a book for his life. He also attempted to buy this thing.
Not an accurate one, at least.
We will never get an accurate story of who that man is. At least when he's alive. While he's alive. I don't know if we'll ever find out. But fascinating. Fascinating stuff. Next week, obviously, we have a pay-per-view. Bad Blood. We're going to recap that on Sunday. And everything else that happened in the world of professional wrestling. Guys, give me a follow on X at Andrew Zarian. Also, Tuesdays, Beyond the Bell with me and Rich Dambolian. Fridays, Mattman Podcast with Rich and myself. And Tuesdays, also, here on the Wrestling Observer with Garrett Gonzalez. I'll be here. Wrestling Observer Live, everybody. See you next time.